بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Shall we going to get started? But inshallah, first I'd like to make two corrections. One, there was a word yesterday. I mean, it's really it's not a difficult thing, but I guess fatigue made it appear strange. Anyway, I mentioned there was, I thought a letter was left out of a word, so I didn't translate. So the sentence was, وَعَلَمْ وَسْعَ اللَّهُ بِالْفَهْمِ قَلْبَكَ. He says, you should know, may Allah expand your heart with understanding. So that's on page 108. So he says, وَعَلَمْ وَسْعَ اللَّهُ بِالْفَهْمِ قَلْبَكَ. You should know, may Allah expand your heart with understanding. وَنَارَ بِالْعِلْمِ صَدْرَكَ. And illuminate your chest or your heart with knowledge. So that's the first. The second was a word, again, which is not a difficult word, but I forgot the meaning. And it's on page 111, for those who are reading at the bottom of the text. He says, وَفُضُولُ لِسَانِ يُخْرِجُ إِلَى التَّزَيُّدْ وَالْبِدْعَةِ. So, التَّزَيُّدْ, I translated it literally as meaning excess, but it means to lie. التَّزَيُّدْ is a lie that's brought about by embellishing your speech. And so this is why it's related to fudul, or excessive speech, because you, by not stopping, you continue and embellish the speech and then fall into a lie. For example, you say, I almost caught a big fish, it got away. And so if you stop there, you're safe. Then you say, yeah, it was a real whopper, it was like that. And so the embellishment has led you to misstate the truth. So this is what tazayyud is. So I just wanted to mention those two things. All right, we'll continue, inshallah. We mentioned that we arrived at the part where one of the wise people was saying that the heart is like a house that has six doors. So we'll continue from there, inshallah, may Allah give us tawfiq to move ahead. And we have to pick up the pace a little bit because we want to finish, inshallah. This microphone? Yeah, it's on. Inshallah. So he says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. قال المؤلف رحمه الله ونفعنا به وبكم أجمعين. The author says, may Allah benefit him, benefit us through him and through all of you. He says, وقال بعض الحكماء القلب مثل بيت له ستة أبواب ثم قيل لك احذر ألا يدخل عليك من أحد الأبواب شيء فيفسد عليك البيت. He says, one of the wise men say that the heart is like a house which has six doors. And then it is said to you, beware that you let anything or anyone enter through one of the doors and thereby ruin the house. فَالْقَلْبُ هُوَ الْبَيْتِ. The heart, it's the house. وَالْأَبْوَابِ. And then it says, and the doors are العينان واللسان والسمع والبصر واليدان والرجلان. And he says the six doors are the two eyes, the tongue, the hearing, the sight, the hands, and the feet. فمتى انفتح باب من هذه الأبواب بغير علم ضاع البيت. And he says, whenever one of these doors is opened without knowledge, the house is ruined. So it's like someone lives in a dangerous neighborhood, quote unquote, dangerous neighborhood, and they have a peephole in the door, and they hear a knock at the door, and they don't look out to see who it is. So they open the door without knowledge of who's there, and then a thief pushes the door open and robs the house. So this is sort of the parable that he's making. He says, whoever opens one of these doors without knowledge, the house is ruined. فَفَرْضُ lisan. Then he goes back, he mentioned there were furud for the lisan and for all of these parts of the body. فَفَرْضُ lisan الصِّدْقُ فِالرِّدَى وَالْغَضَبُ. He said the obligation of the tongue, he mentioned earlier the obligation of the heart. Then he mentioned some things related to the heart. Now he returns to the obligation of the tongue. Is to be honest when you're pleased and when you're angry. To never let any state remove you from honesty. وَكَفُّ الْأَذَى فِي السِّرِّ وَالْعَلَانِيَةِ. And to hold back from harming anyone, openly or secretly. And secretly also includes thinking bad thoughts about people. When you start thinking bad about people, you should stop it. And the best way to stop your thoughts, as we mentioned, is by remembering Allah. You feel yourself drifting into some negativity. Astaghfirullah, subhanallah, la ilaha illallah. And this usually will bring you back. وَتَرْكُ التَّزَيُّدِ بِالْخَيْرِ وَالشَّرِّ. And to leave off embellishing your speech with good or with evil. So you're talking about something good and you embellish that way, or something bad. You overemphasize someone's faults or mention faults that aren't there. وَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ مَنْ ضَمِنَ لِي مَا بَيْنَ لِحْيَيْهِ وَمَا بَيْنَ رِجْلَيْهِ ضَمِنْتُ لَهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْجَنَّةِ. This hadith is in Al-Bukhari. He says the Prophet, and we know this hadith, he says that whoever guarantees me that he will control that which is between his two, literally his mustache and his beard, but between his two lips, and that which is between his legs, then I will guarantee for him Jannah. So he says whoever guarantees that they will control his tongue and control their private parts, then I will guarantee for them Jannah. وَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ لِمَعَاذِ بْنِ جَبَلٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَهَلْ يَقُبُّ النَّاسَ فِي النَّارِ عَلَى مَا عَلَى مَنَاخِرِهِمْ إِلَّا حَصَائِدُ أَلْسِنَتِهِمْ. He said to Mu'adh, are the people dragged on their faces and flung into the hellfire for anything other than the harvest of their tongue? So we reap the harvest of our tongues, so we should make sure that we plant good. وَقَالَ ابْنُ مَسْعُودٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. This is listed by the typesetter as a hadith. He says, وَقَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ, as if the Prophet said it, but research reveals that this saying we're going to mention is a hadith, is an athar that's attributed to Ibn Mas'ud. That's why we mention Ibn Mas'ud. So if you're reading along, you'll see in your book, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَقَالَ ابْنُ مَسْعُودٍ أُنذِرُكُمْ فُضُولَ الْكَلَامِ حَسْبُ أَحَدِكُمْ مَا يَبْلُغُ بِهِ حَاجَتَهُ فَإِنَّ الرَّجُلَ يُسْأَلُ عَنْ فُضُولِ كَلَامِهِ كَمَا يُسْأَلُ عَنْ فُضُولِ مَالِهِ. He says that I'm warning you concerning excessive speech. It suffices you that which allows you to obtain your need. Whatever speech allows you to obtain your need, that's sufficient. Because a person will be asked concerning his excessive speech, just as he will be asked concerning what he did with his excess wealth. Did he give zakat? Did he give sadaqah? Etc. وَقَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَ لِسَانِ كُلَّ قَائِلٍ. That he says, the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah is present at the tongue of every speaker. فَاتَّقَ اللَّهَ امْرُؤٌ عَلِمَ مَا يَقُولُ. He says, therefore, let every person fear Allah and let him know what he speaks. In other words, we should not let anything issue from our tongue except that we're in complete control of it. We know exactly what we're saying. And we know the implications of what we're saying. And if we don't know it, we shouldn't speak. We're speaking from ignorance, or speaking ignorance, or speaking without considering the implications of our of what we say. We should try to refrain from speaking. وَفَرْضُ الْبَصَرِ. Then he goes to the obligation of the sight. وَفَرْضُ الْبَصَرِ الْغَضُّ عَنِ الْمَحَارِمِ. That the obligation of the sight, first and foremost, is to turn away from the haram. Literally, to be lowered from the haram. And this is a Quranic injunction. Say to the believing men to lower their gazes, and the believing women to lower their gazes. And this is not just from the opposite sex. What we lower our gazes from is defined for us in general terms by the hadith, من حسن إسلام المرئي تركه ما لا يعنيه. Anything that doesn't concern us, we shouldn't look at, because by looking at it, it enters into our hearts, and then we start becoming concerned with it. So we lower our eyes from anything that's haram. We shouldn't look at haram food, lest we start longing for it. So we see little nice little bacon strips in the hotel lobby as we walk out. And then it affects us. It's haram. We shouldn't even look at it. It's haram. We look at, we see people drinking champagne and toasting each other. Tink. So we go home and buy champagne glasses and the foaming apple juice that, yeah, let's celebrate. And so our hearts are starting to long for the haram. So it's called Sadd al-Dhira'. We should cut off any avenue that leads to the haram. Because we don't know, once that enters our heart, it might grow. And the next thing we know, is no longer carbonated apple juice. وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. So anything that's haram, we should look away from. Anything that doesn't concern us, we should look away from. Muslims shouldn't be window shoppers. And we're looking at all these things we can't afford and just longing for them, and it's affecting our hearts. وَتَرْكُ التَّطَلُّعَ فِيمَا حُجِدَ وَسُتِرَ. And then we should leave off seeking out and trying to find those things that have been hidden from us or covered up. And seeking them out, this is a form of spying. And this is unacceptable in Islam. قال حذيفة رضي الله عنه قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم النظر سهم من سهام إبليس فمن تركه من خوف الله أتاه الله إيمانا يجد حلاوته في قلبه. Hudhayfa says, radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, in this hadith related by Imam Hakim in Mustadrak, and it's Sahih hadith, he says that the glance is an arrow from the arrows of Iblis. And whoever leaves it out of fear of Allah, Allah will give him a faith, the sweetness of which he will taste in his heart. So Allah will give him a faith, the sweetness of which he will taste in his heart. وَقَالَ أَبُو الدَّرْدَاءِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مَنْ غَضَّ بَصَرَهُ عَنِ النَّظَرِ الْحَرَامِ زُوِّجَ مِنْ الْحُورِ الْعِينِ حَيْثُ أَحَبُ. He says that Abu Darda, the Sahabi, may Allah be pleased with him, he said that whoever lowers his gaze from looking at that which is haram, Allah Ta'ala will be married from the wide-eyed maidens of paradise. He will choose from them whichsoever he desires. وَمَنْ اتَّلَعَ فَوْقَ بُيُوتِ النَّاسِ حَشَرُهُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. And whoever looks down from the roofs into people's houses, Allah will raise him up on the day of judgment blind. And even in this society, this was condemned at one time. They call these people peeking Toms. And it's a despicable characteristic that's highly condemned in Islam. And when people here had sense, it used to be condemned also. Even if someone's looking in your house and you throw something at them and you blind them or put their eyes out or something, you're not liable for that, because they're doing something they shouldn't be doing. وَقَالَ دَاوُدَ طَائِيهِ لِرَجْلٍ قَدْ أَحَبَّ النَّظَرَ إِلَى بَعْدِ مَنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِ. Dawood al-Ta'i, one of the early sages in Islam, wise people, he said that someone وَقَدْ أَحَدَّ النَّظَرَ إِلَى بَعْدِ مَنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِ. Someone was staring at him. He caught someone staring at him. فَقَالَ يَهَذَرْضُدْ بَصَرَكَ إِلَيْكَ. He said, "Oh, so-and-so, pull your eyes back to yourself. Turn away from me." فَإِنَّهُ بَلَغَنِي أَنَّ الرَّجُلَ يُسَأَلُ عَنْ فُضُولِ نَظَرِهِ كَمَا يُسَأَلُ عَنْ فُضُولِ عَمَلِهِ. He said, "Because it's reached me that a person will be asked about the excessive use of his glance, just as he will be asked about his excessive actions." وَيُقَالُ لَكَ النَّظْرَةُ لَكَ النَّظْرَةُ الْأُولَى وَلَيْسَتْ لَكَ الْآخِرَةُ. He says that the first accidental glance is for you. You're not responsible for that. So you're walking down the street and minding your business and you're not responsible for that. So you lower your gaze and look over. You're responsible. That's what you're responsible for, as he's going to explain here. So he says the first is for you and the second is not for you. This hadith is related by Imam Ahmad, Abu Dawud, and Tirmidhi. And at Tirmidhi said that it's a good hadith, even though it's only narrated by one transmitter at one of its levels. It's called Gharib, this hadith. فَمَا هَجَمَ عَلَى النَّظْرِ فَهُوَ مَوْضُوعٌ عَنِ الْعَبْدِ. So he says, what comes suddenly or surprises the person, this is dropped from him. He's not responsible for that. فَمَسْتَبَدَّ بِهِ النَّظَرُ بِمَعْقُولِ الْفَهْمِ فَالْعَبْدُ مَأْخُوذٌ بِهِ. But what a person intentionally and consciously looks at from the haram or the impermissible, that's what he's taken to task for. وَفَرْضُ السَّمْعِ. And then he mentions the obligation of the hearing. تَبَعٌ لِلْكَلَامِ وَالنَّظْرِ فَكُلُّ مَا لَا يَحِلُّ لَكَ الْكَلَامُ فِيهِ وَالنَّظْرُ إِلَيْهِ فَلَا يَحِلُّ لَكَ اسْتِمَاعُهُ وَلَا التَّلَذُّذُ بِهِ. He says the obligation of the sight follows from the obligation of the speech and the glance. For everything that is not permissible for you to speak about, nor permissible for you to look at, is not permissible for you to look at or to take enjoyment from it. وَالْبَحْثُ عَمَّا كُتِمَ عَنْكَ تَجَسُّسُ. And he says, and seeking after those things that are hidden from you is a form of spying. So a couple of people are talking there, and we can't hear them. So Allah Ta'ala has blocked that from us. And maybe the people don't want us to hear, and we start stretching over and trying to make out what they're saying. This is spying, tajassus, which has been condemned in Islam. Because this has been shielded from us, and then we seek after it anyway. So this is a form of spying. وَسَمَاعُ اللَّهْوِ وَالْغِنَاءِ وَأَذَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ حَرَامٌ كَالْمَيْتَةِ وَالدَّمِ. He said, in listening to just empty amusement, thing that has no shari benefit and goes beyond the bounds of consoling someone or cheering them up is just hour after hour of foolishness. Is lahu. And music that's lewd and indecent, and listening to things that involve insult and abuse of the Muslims, this is haram, like dead meat, carrion, or blood. So this is absolutely haram. And as we said, al hadith al Muslim man salim al muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. A Muslim is the one whom the other Muslims are saved from his hand and his tongue and his hand. So to listen to that is unacceptable. وَقَالَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ ابْنُ وَقَالَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ ابْنُ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا نُهِينَا عَنِ الْغِيبَةِ وَالْاِسْتِمَاعِ إِلَيْهَا. He said, we've been forbidden from backbiting people and from listening to it. وَعَنِ النَّمِيمَةِ وَالْاِسْتِمَاعِ لَهَا. And from carrying tales between people and listening to it. So namima is to go between two people in corrupt relations, like so-and-so, you know, so-and-so said that you're really a terrible person. And then they go to the other person, well, so-and-so said you're a terrible person. And now these people, there was no problem to them, and they see each other, between them rather, they see each other, I heard you been talking about me, why did you say that? And so their relations have been ruined. This is called namima, carrying tales between people to corrupt the relations between them. What's permissible is to go to people and say good to reform relations between them. So you know, even if it involves a lie, it's permissible. This is one of the permissible instances of lying. So you know, two people have strained relations over something totally ridiculous, and the only reason they won't patch up is because one can't break down and be the first one to go to the other and say, you know, this is ridiculous and we really should be talking. And so you go to one and you say, so-and-so wants to make up, and they apologize and they said they're sorry, so they just want you to call them up so they could talk to you. And so they pick up the phone, yeah, how you doing, salam alaikum, yeah, I heard everything's okay now. And so that's permissible. But to do the opposite, where there's no problem, to make a problem, that's haram. And that's called namima. وَسُوِلَ الْقَاسِمُ بْنُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِنْ أَبُو بَكْرَ الصِّدِّيقِ. So this is the grandson of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, al-Qasim, who was one of the great fuqaha in the early days of Islam. He says, he was asked, وَسُوِلَ الْقَاسَمُ بْنُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِنْ أَبِي بَكَ بِنْ أَبِي بَكَ الصِّدِّيقِ عَنْ سَمَاءِ الْغِينَ. He was asked about listening to lewd music. قَالْ إِذَا مَيَّزَ اللَّهُ بَيْنَ الْحَقِّ وَالْبَاطِلِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَيْنَ يَقَعُ الْغِينَ. He said, when Allah distinguishes between truth and falsehood on the Day of Judgment, in which category will lewd, indecent music be placed? قِيل فِي حَوْزِ الْبَاطِلِ. He said, in the repository, or in the group of falsehood. قَالْ فَأَفْتِي نَفْسَكَ. He said, then give your own self a fatwa concerning its permissibility or its prohibition. وَلَيْسَ مِنْ جَارِحَةٍ أَشَدُّ ضَرَرًا عَلَى الْعَبْدِ بَعْدَ لِسَانِهِ مِنْ سَمْعِهِ. He said, and there's no part of the body that's more harmful, more severe in its harm for the servant after his tongue, than his hearing. لِأَنَّهُ أَسْرَعُ رَسُولٍ إِلَى الْقَلْبِ. Because the hearing is the fastest messenger to the heart. The sound is a direct conduit. The ear is a direct conduit to the heart. And this is why the music, and this is how they've made music such a huge industry, is by using these messages to affect people's hearts. So a lot of people their whole emotional and psychological balance or structure is based on popular songs. And the way that they relate to the world, they relate to the world through a prism of music. And this is a dangerous situation. لأنه أسر رسول إلى القلب وأقرب وقوعا في الفتنة. And it's the most direct source of landing a person into fitna. وقد ذكر عن وكيع بن الجراح قال, this was one of Imam Shafi's teachers in Iraq, Waqi'. He says, قال سمعت كلمة من مبتدع منذ 20 سنة ما استطيع إخراجها من أذني. He said that I heard a word from an innovator 20 years ago and I'm still unable to remove it from my ears. And many of us know, I mean, a lot of these songs, some of us have been Muslims 10, 20 years, and this popular music we used to listen to is still in our hearts. We could give you on demand. You want Stevie Wonder? Or we can start with Music of My Mind, Talking Book, Inner Visions, Fulfilling This First Finale. What was the next one after that? Journey Through the Secret Life of Plants. Or, I mean, and it's there. And subhanAllah, we wish it was Quran or Hadith. And without even thinking about it for 20 years, it's, you know, finish this song and okay. Finish this Hadith. نسأل الله العافية. May Allah give us, protect us and keep us safe. وكان طاووس إذا أتاه مبتدع سد أذنيه لئلا يسمع كلامه. He said that طاووس, when an innovator came to him, he would block his ears so he wouldn't have to, couldn't hear any of his speech. He would literally block his ears. سد أذنيه أذنيهِ لِأَلَّا يَسْمَعْ كَلَامَهِ وَفَرْدُ الشَّمْ. He said, and the obligation of the smell, تَبْعًا لِلسَّمْعِ وَالْبَصَرِ, follows from the obligations of the sight, of the hearing and the seeing, sight. فَكُلُّ مَا حَلَّ اسْتِمَاعُهُ وَنَظَرُهُ جَازَ لَكَ شَمْعُهُ. He said, everything, فَكُلُّ مَا حَلَّ اسْتِمَاعُهُ وَنَظَرُهُ جَزَ لَكَ شَمُّ. He said, everything is permissible for you to listen to or to look at is permissible for you to smell. وَقَدْ رُوِيَ عَنْ عُمَرَ بْنِ عَبْدِ الْعَزِيزِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ أُوْتِيَ بِمِسْكِ فَأَمْسَكَ عَنْهُ أَنْفَى فَقِيلَ لَهُ فِي ذَلِكَ فَقَالَ هَلْ يُنْتَفَعُ مِنْهُ إِلَّا بِرَائِحَتِهِ. It says that Umar bin Abdul Aziz, this great Khalifa, who is called the fifth of the righteously guided Khalifas because of his piety and because of the way that he conducted the affairs of the Khilafah, it says that he was presented with some musk, or musk, we say in English, and he squeezed his nose so he would smell it. I shouldn't do that when I'm talking. He squeezed his nose so he couldn't smell it. Okay. And then it was said to him, why are you doing this? He said, is it benefited from in any way other than its odor? And he did this because this musk was purchased from the wealth of, from the public treasury. And he couldn't benefit from that money for his personal use. So when this oil was presented, he said, is this benefited from in any way other than its smell? Its odor. So to prevent it from smelling it, thereby benefiting from it, and it's bought from the money of the Muslims and not from his personal money, he pinched off his nose. This was the level they were at, radiallahu anhum, may Allah be pleased with them. وفرض اليدين والرجلين ألا يبسطهما إلى محظور. محظور is حرام. The two in Sharia, محظور and حرام, are the same thing. So he said the obligation of the two hands and the two feet are that they are not extended towards the haram. In other words, the hands don't deal with the harams and the feet don't convey you to places of the haram. وَلَا تَقَبِّضَهُمَا عَنْ حَقٍّ. And they are not held back from the truth. So you have to use your hand to stop oppression. Or you have to go to deliver someone their right. Then you don't hold back from using them.
وَقَالَ مَسْرُوقٌ مَا قَطَى الْعَبْدُ قَطْوَةً إِلَّا كُتِبَتْ حَسَنَةً أَوْ سَيِّئَةً.
مَسْرُوق, he said that the servant doesn't take a single step except that a good deed or a bad deed is written for him. A good deed if he's going to something good and lawful, a bad deed if he's going to something bad or forbidden.
وَكَتَبَتْ وَكَتَبَتْ ابْنَةُ سُلَيْمَانَ,
يعني سُلَيْمَانَ بن عبد الملك, who was one of the Amwi Khalifas,
إِلَى عَبْدَتَ إِلَى عَبْدَتَ بِنْتِ خَالِدِ بْنِ مَعَدَانَ.
So the daughter of Suleiman, she wrote a letter to Abda, who was the daughter of Khalid bin Ma'adan.
Zurini,
she said, visit me.
فَكَتَبَتْ إِلَيْهَا Abda,
and Abda, the daughter of Khalid bin Ma'adan, she wrote back to her and she said, أَمَّا بَعْد
فَإِنَّ أَبِي رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ كَانَ يَكْرَهُ أَنْ يَسِيرَ مَسِيرًا لَيْسَ هُوَ فِيهِ ضَامِنًا عَلَى اللَّهِ.
She wrote back and said that my father, he used to hate to travel any distance except that he had a guarantee from Allah, meaning evidence from the Sharia that there was some benefit in taking that journey.
أو يأكل طعاما إذا سئل عنه يوم القيامة لم يكن عنده فيه مخرج.
He said, oh, he would hate to eat some food that if he were asked about it on the day of judgment, he would not be able to declare if it were lawful or unlawful. Not, was it pork or did it have alcohol or pork in it, but was it purchased from an unlawful source? This is what haram and halal. And the people are very careful in the early days of eating from the halal, eating from a lawful source. And one of the stories in this regard is the story of Imam Ahmed and the fish. Some of you might know that Imam Ahmed, his son was a qadi, a judge, so he considered the money to be corrupt or questionable because of the Khilafah usurping the wealth of the Muslims, unlawful, etc. So his son sent him some bread. So before he ate it, he said, who is this bread from? This is from your son. He said, I'm not going to eat it because I'm not sure about it. There's shubha in it, or there's doubt concerning it. So they said, okay, then we'll give it to the beggars in Baghdad. So he said, okay, you can give it to the beggars, but before you give it to them, tell them where it came from. So when they told him, none of the beggars would eat the bread. So they tore the bread up and threw it in the Tigris River, or the Euphrates River. So the fish ate the bread. So then they came back to Imam Ahmed. He said, what did you do with the bread? They said, well, the beggars wouldn't take it, so we threw it in the river. So he thought for a minute, then he said, how long do the fish species in this river live? They said, for about 3 years. So he wouldn't eat fish for 3 years. So they were very scrupulous in making sure they... And if you look in a book like Shu'abul Iman, Imam Bayhaqi's book, and Abdul Hakim Murad translated the condensation of it for Imam Qazwini, which is a smaller compilation, the one of the biggest chapters in there, in the original, which is like 7 volumes, with it's over 100 pages, eating from the lawful. So this is a very big thing. Though that's what it means when she says that he would hate to eat any food, that if he were asked about it on the day of judgment, he wouldn't be able to have any proof that it was lawful or unlawful.
وَقَدْ كَرِحْتُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ مَا كَرِهَا أَبِي.
And she said, and I hate what my father hated. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكِ. Peace be upon you. In other words, I'm not coming to visit you because I don't know if there's any shari benefit in me coming. So, salam alayk.
فَإِنْ قَالَ قَائِلْ مَا السَّبِيلُ إِلَى الْعَمَلِ بِذَلِكِ
قِيلْ. If someone were to ask, what leads you to have the wherewithal to work and to act at this level? It said, قِيلْ
لُزُومُ مِنْهَاجِ الْأَئِمَّةِ الْمُتَّقِينَ وَالنَّظَرُ فِي آدَابِ الْمُسْتَرْشِدِينَ لِمَعْرِفَةِ الْقَطْوِ وَالتَّيَقُّبُ بِالْمُحَاسَبَةِ.
He said, adhering to the methodology of the pious imams of this community, to follow their way. Because if they were at this level, if we want to attain to that level, we should try to do what they did. And to ponder and consider the manners of the true seekers of guidance. And in this way, you will know the steps and you will be able to become alert by constantly taking yourself to task. So, this is the way, the methodology of the rightly guided imams of this community. And he outlined in the beginning of the book their methodology in dealing with the Quran. And to look at and consider the manners of those true seekers of knowledge who have preceded us. And this is the way that we find out knowledge of the path, if you will, and we make ourselves alert, or we wake up to the reality of what our life and our existence in this world is all about by constantly taking account of ourselves, بِالْمُحَاسَبَةِ, to step back and assess our actions. Step back and assess our actions. Step back and assess our actions. And then he says, رَحِمُهُ اللَّهُ, he says, may Allah have mercy on him. He says, وَالْعَمَلُ بِالْإِنصَافِ. And to act with balance and justice, to not be unjust and oppressive to anyone. وَتَحَرُّزْ بِكَفِّ الْأَذَى. And to protect ourselves by not harming other people. And this is a form of protection, because if we don't harm other people, they don't retaliate against us. As one meaning, another meaning, to be careful not to harm other people. So we say التحرز بكف الأذى, that we protect ourselves or seek protection, like حرز is a fort or a sanctuary, by not extending harm to other people, and we seek, or we're very careful in not harming other people. وَبَذْلُ الْفَضْلِ بِتَرْكِ الْمِنَّةِ. And that we extend our good and have our good count by not negating it, by mentioning the good that we do to others. We hide our good and don't remind people of our good. This is called al-minna, to remind people of the good. Well, alhamdulillah, the last fundraiser, by the grace of Allah, I was able to give 1.3 million grains of sand. So we don't remind people of our good. We just, if it's hidden, it's better, because there's more ikhlas in it. It is permissible for people in a position of authority to remind people and show off, to encourage them to do good. So that's a permissible case, but they have to use their discretion. But the general principle is to hide our good acts so that our ikhlas remains. If no one knows what we did, it can't be for other people. Then if it's not for other people, it's strictly and solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, وَحُسْنَ السَّمْتِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَسَدِ.
And he said, and to maintain a good way of life and to maintain pure intentions and to move through the world in a good way by not being jealous, by avoiding jealousy. وَالْكِنَاعَةُ بِحُبِّ الْخُمُولِ. And we protect ourselves and guarantee that we have satisfaction and contentment by loving to be obscure. Not loving to be out front, rather loving to be hidden. This is what khumul is. And as Ibn Ata'illah says in his Hikam, اِدْفِنْ وَجُودَكَ فِي أَرْضِ الْخُمُولِ. To bury your existence in the earth of obscurity. فَمَا نَبَتَ مِمَّا لَمْ يُدْفَنْ لَا يَتِمُّ نَتَاجُ. Because that which comes forth, so it's like a plant, you bury the roots in the earth of obscurity. That which comes forth from that which isn't buried will never bear its proper fruit. So we want to eliminate ourselves so that we live for Allah and through Allah. And then everything we do has strength. But what we do for ourselves and for ourselves, it has weakness in it. Because we're weak. But Allah Ta'ala is the all-powerful. So when we live through Allah and we live for Allah and not for ourselves and relying on our own power, we find a source of strength that's incomparable. وطول الصمت رغبة في السلامة. And lengthy periods of silence, longing to be safe. If we don't speak, we're safe. As we mentioned in the talking about isolation. By not speaking, we're safe from backbiting, slandering, usurping people's rights, etc., etc.
والتواضع للخلق بلا وحشة.
And that we humble ourselves before the people, why not fearing that we'll be left alone. A lot of people, they're constantly chasing after people and they want to be seen of people because they fear being alone. So they don't humble themselves. If they're humble, oh, there's nobody, we're not inviting them. So a humble person, he doesn't care or she doesn't care if they're left alone. For them, it's all the better. So they have more time to do something serious for their heart. So they don't let their fear of being left alone prevent them from being humble.
وَالْأُنْسُ بِالذِّكْرِ فِي الْخَلْوَةِ.
And they find intimacy in remembering Allah in privacy.
وَالتَّفَرُّغِ الْقَلْبِ لِلْخِدْمَةِ.
And their hearts are emptied out and therefore they're available to serve people. Because a person that has a humble heart, and that's not, the heart isn't attached to the dunya, so they're not looking for rewards, they're not looking for praise, they're not looking for anything, their heart is empty, that person can serve people. Because when you serve people, you give, you don't take. If you need something, and you're longing for things, you want to be recognized, you're taking. But the khidmah requires that we give. So these are states we try to attain to, because our ummah, kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lin-nas. You're the best ummah raised up for the people, and they say, li khidmatin nas, to serve the people and benefit the people.
وَالِجْتِمَاعُ الْهَمِّ بِالْمُرَاقَبَةِ.
And he gathers all of his concerns into a single concern, striving to meet Allah by constantly being aware that Allah Ta'ala is watching over him, and by watching over himself, by constantly backing up to look at his actions, look at her actions, are they sound and acceptable.
وَطَلَبُ النَّجَاتِ فِي طَرِيقِ الْإِسْتَقَامَةِ.
And he seeks salvation by adhering to the path of uprightness, or being constant and consistent and complete in one's obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وَقَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ.
Allah Ta'ala says,
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا فَلَا خُوفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ.
Those who say that our Lord is Allah, and then they are upright, they obey Allah with consistency,
they will have no fear, upon them will be no fear, nor shall they grieve or be saddened.
وقال سفيان بن عبد الله الثقفي يا رسول الله حدثني بأمر أعتصم به قال قل آمنت بالله ثم استقم.
Sufyan bin Abdullah al-Thaqafi, he said to the Messenger of Allah, he said, O Messenger of Allah, speak, inform me of something that I can adhere to. He said, say, I believe in Allah and then be upright. Now this hadith, which is a sound hadith related by Imam Muslim, the questioner is a Muslim. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered, he was answering a Muslim. قُلْ أَمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ. So why would he tell a Muslim to say, I believe in Allah? So he's saying to him, renew your faith. So this is a reminder for us that we have to renew our faith. Our faith can become rusty. We have to polish it. So we have to renew it by reaffirming the Shahada, by constantly turning to the Book of Allah, by doing our voluntary acts, by teaching people about Islam. When we teach people, we renew our faith. Because the teaching, the new Muslim reminds us of where we were. And teaching people, just if you're not a convert, at one time you probably weren't serious about Islam. So when you got serious, this was a conversion of sorts. And by teaching someone who's starting to get serious, it reminds us of where we came from, and it reminds of the energy we used to have when we see that person, the eagerness and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and want to read everything and is thinking about Allah constantly. So this renews our faith. These are things to renew our faith. And then he said, ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. Then he said, ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. This conjunction, ثُمَّ, gives the meaning of something that occurs after the elapsing of a significant period of time. They say, this is called tarakhi, with the grammarians. You feed at tarakhi. It benefits, gives the meaning that a period of time has passed. So in other words, you renew your faith right now. That's something we can all do immediately. But the uprightness, our complete and consistent adherence to all of the dictates of the Sharia, this is something that comes with time. So we shouldn't overwhelm ourselves. We should give ourselves time. And we should give other people time. A lot of us, we grow in Islam and become old in Islam. Then the new Muslim, we overwhelm them. And we forget that it took us 2 years. And some of our sisters, maybe when they became Muslim, became serious about Islam, it took 2 or 3 years to wear a full hijab. It might have started with nothing, then progressed to a beanie or a beret or something, and progressed and progressed. And after 2 or 3 years, they were there. Then they meet a new Muslim. You have to wear hijab, sister. You have to cover up. Astaghfirullah. You come to the masjid or around the brothers like that, they're going to have heart attacks and forget. And then this sister's overwhelmed. This shouldn't even be an issue. Just concentrate on the iman, on the faith. Then when the faith grows, as they say, when the faith grows in the heart, the hijab will appear on the head. And the same thing for brothers. Like, you know, brother, you know, you should dress sunnah. And this guy is thinking about his job. He's like, wow, I have to wear that to work. And maybe I should look at another spiritual option. Because it's new, a person is new in Islam, so their faith needs time to grow. So this istiqama, this uprightness, it doesn't come right away. And this hadith gives us this meaning. ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. Then be upright with the passing of time. The key is to keep working and keep trying.
وقال عمر بن الخطاب. Someone has lost or misplaced rather a watch. This watch, so if anyone recognizes it,
they should claim it. Umar ibn al-Khattab qal Umar ibn al-Khattabi radiyallahu anhu, Umar said, al-istaqamu, this term istaqamu, to be upright, lillahi bita'ati, is to be upright for Allah by obeying Him. وَلَمْ يَرُوغُ رَوَغَانِسْ وَلَا يَرُوغُ رَوَغَانِسْ It's a tongue twister. I say this all the time. That's why I'm not reading it. وَلَا يَرُوغُ رَوَغَانِسْ ثَعْلَبْ And don't zigzag like the fox. That's what رَوَغَانِسْ ثَعْلَبْ The fox, he zigzags in and out. He's crafty. So they have big hunts trying to find them, with horns and dogs and idiots on horses chasing the fox through the woods because he's clever. So we shouldn't be clever with our deen. Oh, I'll find a way to get around it. So I go over it, tunnel under it. So we should be straight ahead. And istaqimu from being straight. Siratul mustaqim. So we should be straight and try to be straight, and it takes effort, and we should avoid zigzagging like the fox.
وقال أبو العالية وقال أبو العالية الرياحي أبو علي الرياحي he said استقاموا
this term to be upright
أخلصوا لله الدين وَالدَّعْوَةَ الدِّينَ وَالدَّعْوَةَ وَالْعَمَلِ To be sincere to Allah in your religion and in your prayer and in your worship. وَأَصْلُ الْإِسْتَقَامَةِ فِي ثَلَاثَةً And the source of this uprightness is to be found in three things. اتَّبَعُ الْكِتَابِ Following the book. وَالسُنَّةِ And the sunnah. وَلُزُومُ الْجَمَاعَةِ And adhering to the way of the Muslims who were on the same guidance that the early Muslims were on. This is one concept of the Jama'ah. And he explains this in the note. So to adhere to the Book of Allah, the Sunnah of the Messenger, and to adhere to the Jama'ah. So one meaning could be the majority of the Muslims. Another meaning to be the truth that the early Muslims were on, even if in sometimes in places they are the minority. So this is one meaning of the Jama'ah.
وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ أَنْجَى طَرِيقًا لِلْعَبْدِ الْعَمْلُ بِالْعِلْمِ
Know that the strongest way for the servant is to act on the basis of knowledge. The most beneficial way for the servant is to act on the basis of knowledge. Everything we do, we should try to learn. Is it lawful or unlawful? وَتَحَرُّزُ بِالْخَوْفِ And to be careful and cautious by being fearful. So fear makes us cautious. If we're afraid, if I touch this, I'm going to get electrocuted. Then we're cautious. I better not touch it. And we stand back and we're careful when we're around it. So fear makes us cautious. And the fear of the hellfire, fear of rebelling against us, Allah Ta'ala should make us careful and cautious. وَالْغِنَى بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ And we should find our wealth, our richness with Allah. The exalted, the mighty, the exalted. Our wealth we should find in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
فَاشْتَغِلْ بِإِصْلَاحِ حَالِكِ
And work and preoccupy yourself with reforming your state. Like our greeting in Islam, كَيْفَ حَالِكِ It's not how are you. It's like how is your state? How is your... The nature of your Islam. How is your spiritual station? This is what we're asking someone. Say, كَيْفَ حَالُكَ How is your state? How is your spiritual state? And so we should constantly be working to improve our spiritual state. Constantly working to improve our spiritual state.
Which means what? To have more and more of our time with thinking about Allah, and with thinking about the meeting with Allah, and the remembrance of Allah is in our heart, until our heart is overwhelmed with the remembrance of Allah, and that's all our heart engages in. And that doesn't make us some sort of a strange person or a monk or something, because the remembrance of Allah puts us in touch with the commandments, the prohibitions, and everything. All of these things are forms of dhikr. So if we're in a situation, to remember Allah doesn't mean we're having an argument and we say subhanallah walhamdulillah. I mean, that's desirable, but it's not that kind of dhikr. It's remembering Allah by remembering the rules in the Sharia to diffuse anger. So if we're standing up, one rule is to sit down, to go make wudu. So we see ourselves getting ready to fly off the handle, and then we remember. So this is dhikr now. We remember, when you're angry, anger is from shaitan, and shaitan is from fire, and water extinguishes fire. So let me go make wudu so I can cool off. So this is remembering Allah. We're in a situation that might, in a business situation, we're getting ready to sign a contract, and then we see a clause that might involve riba. So we remember Allah. Riba is haram, and we don't sign. This is remembrance of Allah. We don't say, you know, astaghfirullah, and then sign. Well, I remembered Allah, and I sought forgiveness. No, to remember Allah is to remember the ruling that's relevant at that particular time. So when we say the heart should be overwhelmed with the remembrance of Allah, that everything that we see at a particular time, we remember the ruling that's most appropriate for that particular time. So this is a form of, all of these are remembrances or forms of remembering Allah. So it says, فَاشْتَغِلْ بِأَصْلَاحِ حَالِكِ, be preoccupied with improving your state. وَافْتَقِرْ إِلَى رَبِّكِ, and always acknowledge your need for your Lord. We should always acknowledge our need for Allah. There's no situation that we're ever in that we don't need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتَنَزَّهْ عَنِ الشُّبُهَاتِ, and distance yourself from all doubtful matters. وَأَقْلِلْ حَوَائِجَكَ, وَأَقْلِلْ حَوَائِجَكَ إِلَى النَّاسِ, and وَأَقْلِلْ حَوَائِجَكَ إِلَى النَّاسِ, and make the things that you depend on from the people, reduce them to a bare minimum. That we rely on ourselves and trust that Allah will provide for us, and the things we need from people, we try to reduce those to the bare minimum. وَأَحِبَّ لَهُمْ مَا تُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِكَ, and love for the people what you would love for yourself. وَقْرَهْ لَهُمْ مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ, and hate for the people what you would hate for yourself. وَلَا تَكْشِفَنَّ سِتْرًا, and don't remove a veil that Allah has placed over something to cover it up. If Allah has covered up your faults, you committed some wrong things, and Allah covered it up, don't broadcast those. If Allah has covered up your righteous deeds, you were able to get up and pray last night for 2 hours and to read a little Quran, and you felt just totally energized, don't tell people. Keep that as an intimate secret between yourself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't wake up and then go, you know, alhamdulillah, you know, I got up, I felt so good, I was knocking out those rakats, you should have seen me, you would have been proud of me, subhanallah. So Allah's covered it up, don't unveil it, because by unveiling it, then we lose the preciousness that it has with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we lose part of its reward, if not all of it. وَلَا تُحَدِّثَنَّ نَفْسَكَ بِقَطِيئَةٍ, Don't contemplate committing sin. Like sinful thoughts will come to our mind, we repulse it. But don't let those thoughts grow and mold them over in your mind and contemplate on it. Don't do that. وَلَا تُسِرَّنَّ عَلَى صَغِيرًا. And don't persist in a minor sin. Because the persistent, by persisting in a minor sin, they become major sins. Because we lose the sanctity of obedience. And at that point, all sin is equal. So that's one thing, one meaning of it. Another meaning is that by persisting in the major sins, we allow ourselves to be drawn, in persisting in the minor sins, we allow ourselves to be drawn into the major sins. For the same reason, that the concept of sin itself loses its importance. And then we can't distinguish major, minor. We just do it. Our hearts have become corrupted. وَفْزَعْ إِلَى اللَّهِ عِنْدَ كُلِّ فَاقَةٍ. Plead to Allah at every need, for to address every need that you have. We have a need, plead to Allah, appeal to Allah to meet that need. وَفْتَقِرْ إِلَيْهِ فِي كُلِّ حَالٍ. And he basically repeats what he said a little earlier. Acknowledge your need for Allah in every situation that you might be in. وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَيْهِ فِي كُلِّ أَمْرٍ. And rely on Him in every affair. And relying on Allah doesn't mean not taking, being responsible and doing everything to facilitate success. As is mentioned in a hadith related by Imam At-Tirmidhi, the man came to the Prophet and he said, Ya Rasulullah, أُرْسِلُ نَاقَتِي وَأَتَوَكَّلْ. Should I just leave my camel free to roam around and trust in Allah that it won't run off? قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, اعقلها وتوكل. He said, tie it up and then trust in Allah. So as we mentioned earlier, or yesterday, we take every means to facilitate success, and then we rely on Allah. So taking the means, الأخذ بالأسباب, this is taking every means to facilitate success. This is a condition of trusting in Allah. There's one of the shuruq, or conditions of tawakkul. So we should never lose sight of that. And then he says, Al-Imam Al-Muhasibi, he says, وَاعْتَزِلِ وَاعْتَزِلِ الْهَوَى. And remove yourself from following your inclination. As the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a sahih hadith, Imam Nawawi relates it in his Arba'een, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به. That no one of you truly believes, his faith isn't perfect or complete until his very inclination is in accordance with that which I have brought. ولا تقنع من نفسك بالتربص. And he says, اللهم صل على رسول الله. Think of this sentence. ولا تقنع من نفسك بالتربص. So I'll come back to this sentence. وأخمل أخمل ذكرك. Cover up your remembrance. Don't do things that will force people to mention you constantly, unless it's absolutely necessary. وَأَدِمْ لِلَّهِ شُكْرًا. And be constant in your remembrance and your thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَكْثِرْ مِنَ الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ. And be abundant in your seeking forgiveness. Like this is one of our companions. Like there are two, three companions we should have. In other words, we should travel when we're in our cars, walking down the street. One is istighfar, because constantly seeking forgiveness, astaghfirullah, 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 until it becomes habitual. another salawat, or saying the salutations and praying for peace and blessings for the Prophet. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. And the third is tahleel, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, until it becomes habitual for us. Then whenever we find idle time, we automatically we click into one of these modes. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. And the situation, it varies as to which one we'll choose, or others, but we should have a companion like that to keep us company and to help us to get through our day. The sentence that I said I'll come back to, inshallah, I'll come back to now. He says, وَلَا تَقْنَعْ مِن نَفْسِكَ بِالتَّرَبُّصِ. Don't allow yourself to become complacent by being vigilant against yourself. Watch over ourselves so we don't become complacent and think, oh, everything's okay, I'm on the right track. We should always watch over ourselves and remind ourselves that, no, things aren't okay, because we don't even know if a single righteous deed we have ever done has been accepted. Because the condition for acceptance is ikhlas. We don't know if we've had ikhlas for any one prayer that we've made. We don't know. So we don't know if any one deed we've been accepted, have done, has been accepted by Allah Ta'ala. So we should never become complacent. We should never become complacent. We should always try to work harder and work harder. And if anyone could become complacent, it would have been Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he prayed until his feet swollen and cracked. But we should hope. And all of a lot of these things, we mentioned the balance. So don't forget the balance either. So we say we should fear Allah, but hope for good from Allah. We shouldn't become complacent, and we should work hard. But we should also hope and pray that Allah Ta'ala in His mercy has accepted our acts. So we balance between one state and the other. If we're overwhelmed by either of the oftentimes conflicting states, then we'll land in a problem. So we have to always balance and always remember the balance. And Allah Ta'ala has established the balance. وَوَضَعَ الْمِزَانِ. He's established and set up the balance. وَعَلَيْكَ بِالتَّأَنِّي وَاعْتَبِرْ بِالْإِفْقَارِ. And always contemplate even what you allow yourself to think about. Just don't launch into a thought. Think, what should I think about? Before we start the process of thought. And then we become more exacting and we benefit more from our thoughts. وَعَلَيْكَ بِالتَّأَنِّي عِنْدَ مَوَارِدِ الْعَجْلَةِ. And it's incumbent upon you, mandatory for you, to be deliberate in every situation that pushes you towards haste. So always stop and proceed with deliberation and caution, especially in those situations where the nature of the situation pushes you towards a hasty decision. That's when you have to really be conscious and back up. So everyone's grabbing the brother. Come on, brother, marry the sister. Hurry up, man, before someone else gets her. You have to step back and think so a person doesn't think, okay, you know, you think she's the one? Yeah, brother, hurry up. We got two witnesses. Tired brothers, tired. Two brothers, that's all we need. Hurry up. Come here, sister. Boom, it's a done deal. And then he's coming after you 2 weeks later with a gun. Brother, why did you do that to me? Or vice versa. A lot of sisters want to shoot people. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. وَحُسْنِ الْأَدَبِ فِي الْمُخَالَطَةِ. And to have the best of manners when you're mixed up with other people. So it's not a virtue for us to have good manners when we're all alone. The virtue is to have good manners when we're dealing with other people. And so the Prophet ﷺ told, وَخَالَتَ النَّاسِ بِخُلُكٍ حَسَنٍ. To always have good manners, good adab, good character in dealing with people.
وَلَا تَغْضَبْ لِنَفْسِكَ عَلَى النَّاسِ.
And don't become angry defending yourself against the abuses of people. Don't become angry for yourself.
وَغْضَبْ لِلَّهِ عَلَى نَفْسِكَ.
But become angry against. So don't become angry for your own sake, for what the people do to you. Become angry for the sake of Allah against yourself, for your shortcomings and giving Allah the rights that are owed to Him.
وَلَا تُكَافِئَنَّ أَحَدًا بِإِسَاءَةٍ.
And don't respond or retaliate against anyone for some insult that they've afflicted upon you. So we don't defend ourselves against insults. We just say, MashaAllah. And we should defend our brothers and sisters. So we shouldn't defend ourselves, but we should defend each other. So by defending ourselves, we begin to place too much importance on ourselves. And that's why the person that's megalomaniac is constantly, you know, who said what? Why did they say that? They can't talk about me like that. A Muslim, mashallah, that's between them and Allah. I won't even waste my time. But if we hear something, we should defend our brothers and sisters. So don't let your brother and sister go undefended. But we shouldn't defend ourselves against insults and petty abuses. And this is the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
وَحْذَرِ الْمِدْحَ.
Avoid praising. وَحْذَرِ الْمِدْحَ لِلْجَاهِئِ بِنَفْسِهِ. Avoid praising people who don't know their own state. So if you know the praise might ruin this person, we don't praise them. But if we know a person can handle it and they deserve praise, then we praise them. So we have to use our discretion. Because praise can destroy a person. So we have to be discreet in this matter.
وَلَا تَقْبَلْهَا لِنَفْسِكَ مِنْ أَحَدٍ.
And don't accept praise from anyone. In other words, don't let it go to your head. Alhamdulillah. Just don't, you know, someone, Alhamdulillah, you did a good job, brother. You did a good job, sister. Shut up. Get out of my face. I'm a Muslim. I don't take praise. So that's not what it means. Don't accept it from anyone. Don't let it go to your heart. Don't let it affect your heart. But you acknowledge and be respectful. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, jazakallah khair. You know, ask Allah to pray for me, to help me, to give me a class, to make me better.
وَأَقْلِلْ الدَّحَقْ وَجَانِبِ الْمَزَاحِ.
And don't laugh constantly. As Muslims, we're smilers. We're not laughers. And sometimes we laugh. We're human beings. But we're not people constantly laughing, constantly making jokes, constantly putting on a show, if you will. But we smile a lot. And smiling in the face of your brother is sadaqah. So everyone, all the brothers, turn to your brothers, all the sister, turn to your sister and smile. This is serious. Turn to your brothers and smile. Smile, sisters. Turn to your sisters and smile. You're giving sadaqah. This is sadaqah. Alhamdulillah. This is sadaqah. Smiling in the face of your brother and sister, greeting your brother and sister with a cheerful countenance is sadaqah.
وَاكْتُمِ الْأَوْجَعَ.
And hide your pain. Like Muslims, we're dignified. So something's hurting you. But it's bearable. But it really hurts. We don't want, astaghfirullah. So why didn't we draw attention? What's wrong, brother? Oh, and then they're stroking us. No, we try to hide our pain and deal with it in dignity.
وَاظْهِرِ التَّعَفُّفِ.
And we manifest restraint and chastity. And chastity, not only sexual chastity, but in all of our affairs. General, we're restrained. We're not forward people. We're restrained people.
وَاسْطَفْتَنِ
الثَّقَى. And we should stop and try to can we say this? Try to not appear to be someone that we want people to trust in consciously. Let the people trust in us because Allah Ta'ala leads them to have a good opinion of us, not because we've set ourselves up and as someone that's responsible or someone. No, we just live our lives and let Allah Ta'ala gives this feeling to people that that's someone trustworthy or someone reliable. So we'll stop here, inshallah, and we'll take a 10-minute break and pray that Allah Ta'ala benefits us. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا متقبلا خالصا لوجهك الكريم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.